Imagine this. You're standing at the gates of an ancient village. You see strangers approaching. Their faces are unfamiliar. Their intentions unclear. The instinctive response? Raise the barricades. Protect the tribe. Trust no one. Now, fast forward 10,000 years. Today's leaders don't raise wooden barricades. They raise tariffs. But underneath the polished policy speeches and diplomatic smiles, the ancient survival instincts remain. Trade wars aren't really about trade. They're about fear, about protection, about survival. You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And today I'm kicking off a brand new special mini-series inside our show. I call it Tariffs and Tribalism, Hidden Forces Behind Global Economic Slowdowns. You definitely want to stick with me until the end, because we'll uncover why protectionist instincts hijack smart leadership and how you can lead differently when the pressure hits. This three-part mini-series will change the way you see economic slowdowns and the primal forces that drive them. All right, let's dive in. Into why leaders build trade walls. It's evolution, not economics. Evolutionary psychology teaches us that when our ancestors faced external threats, survival depended on protecting the tribe. Mark van Vugt and Ronald Rooney explain that human leaders evolved to guard resources, deter outsiders, and signal strength to both rivals and followers. Weakness wasn't just dangerous, it was often fatal. Fast forward to today's world. When jobs vanish or industries shrink, fear grips the population. Leaders feel the pull to act, and the ancient script whispers, protect your people, shut the gates, punish the outsiders. Tariffs, quotas, trade barriers, they aren't purely rational and economic tools. They are the modern spears. They tell the tribe, we are defending you, we are strong. Stick with me, because soon we'll explore two chilling cases where this instinct backfired spectacularly. But first, understand this. Your brain is wired for loss aversion. As Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky demonstrated in their landmark 1979 prospect theory, and again, we have the literature in the show notes, humans feel the pain of loss twice as strongly as they feel the pleasure of gain. Protecting what we have feels far more urgent than seeking new opportunities. In economic terms, even if free trade creates a net benefit, losing only one local factory triggers more outrage than gaining 10 cheaper imports. That's why even economically costly tariffs can be widely popular, at least at first. Because leaders aren't just managing economies. They are managing emotions, ancient, powerful, deeply embedded emotions. All right, ready for the good stuff? Let's dive into two high-stakes examples where protectionist instincts backfired. And trust me, you'll want to hear the second one. It's shockingly relevant today. But let's start with case one, the Jefferson's embargo of 1807. So picture this, the young United States caught between the warring giants of Britain and France. Both powers harass American ships. Public outrage explodes. President Thomas Jefferson, under immense pressure, decides, we'll show them, we'll block all foreign trade. The Embargo Act of 1807 slams the gates shut. No exports, no imports. The result? American exports plummeted by 80%. Coastal cities plunge into economic depression. Smuggling surges. Citizens openly defy the government. Jefferson's political support collapses. The embargo was meant to protect American honor and jobs. Instead, it crippled the economy and weakened the very people it was designed to help. Sound familiar? Because when fear and protection instincts drive decisions unchecked, leaders often hurt their own tribes worse than any external enemy could. All right, let's talk about case two, the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930 in the Great Depression. Factories are closing. Banks are failing. Politicians are desperate. The solution? Raise massive tariffs on over 20,000 imported goods. The infamous Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. The logic? If we block foreign competition, American jobs will be safe. The reality? Other countries retaliate immediately. Global trade shrinks by more than 65%. The Great Depression deepens and spreads worldwide. Instead of saving American jobs, the tariffs triggered a global economic collapse. Economists today almost universally agree Smoot-Hawley turned the recession into a catastrophe. And at the root, primal protection instincts hijacked rational strategy. Rather than opening trade to boost growth, leaders doubled down on isolation and fear. So why does this matter for leaders today? Because the same instincts still hijack decision-making in boardrooms, parliaments, and presidential palaces. When crisis strikes, the temptation to build walls feels right, but it often backfires spectacularly. Okay, if you stay with me until the end of this mini-series, you'll learn exactly how to avoid the trap and lead smarter when the stakes are the highest. And right now, let's talk about the three critical leadership strategies you can start applying today. First, recognize the fear response in yourself. When bad news hits, job losses, foreign competition, market downturns, pause. Ask yourself, am I solving the problem or protecting my pride? Reacting from fear feels urgent, but reacting from strategy wins the long game. The best leaders pause before raising the walls. They ask, will this move truly strengthen my tribe or isolate it? Remember, sometimes the best protection is collaboration, not isolation. Then, number two, cool the crowd before the stampede starts. Leaders don't just manage policies, they manage emotions. When your people are scared, it's easy to fan the flames. It's harder, but smarter, to cool them down. Frame change not as us versus them, but as us finding smarter ways to win. Appeal to hope, opportunity, and shared resilience, not just fear and anger. The leader who calms the tribe, not just rallies it, is the one who survives the storm. And then three, build bridges, not just walls. Protection feels good short term. Growth happens when you build connections. The post-World War II architects of the modern global economy, leaders like Cordell Hull, understood this. They didn't retreat into tribalism. They built the GATT. They opened markets. And they created one of the greatest expansions of prosperity the world has ever seen. Smart leaders today know. True strength isn't isolation. It's connection. It's forging strategic alliances while protecting legitimate national interests. It's expanding your circle, not shrinking it. All right, so let's bring this home. Protection instincts are ancient. Fear is powerful. But today's challenges require more than primitive reactions. They require leadership that recognizes emotional instincts, but doesn't surrender to them. Leadership that protects people, but through smarter, not smaller strategies. Leadership that leads with courage, calm, and long-term vision. Because in today's interconnected world, building higher walls often leaves you alone in collapsing fortresses. And those who lead wisely, those who learn to think critically under pressure, will build something far stronger than walls. They build legacies and bridges. All right. That was it for today. If you found this episode valuable, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who's passionate about leadership. And stick with me, because next week we'll continue this three-part mini-series Inside the Mammoth in the Room, diving into why revenge and retaliation instincts hijack global trade wars, and how smart leaders escape the vicious cycle. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoths in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does it in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until then, lead wisely, think critically, and use your knowledge about evolutionary instincts to upscale your leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoths in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.